Our scripture today is from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7 to 15. You're welcome to follow along in your pew Bible or on the screen or Bible at home. As you're looking for that, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this, your word, which you've freely given to us, so that we may study it and know you and draw closer to you. We pray that your truth is revealed into our hearts and that our hearts are all the better for it, that we may be shaped and molded into the creature you want us to be. We thank you, Lord, for all of your love, and we pray this and also ask you for your mercy to be upon the sermon, that it too might be used for you. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7 to 15. Hear now God's word. Now as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in our love for you, so we want you to excel also in this generous undertaking. I do not say this as a command, but I am, by mentioning the eagerness of others, testing the genuineness of your love. For you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. And in this matter, I am giving my opinion. It is beneficial for you who began last year not only to do something, but even to desire to do something. Now finish doing it, so that your eagerness may be matched by completing it according to your means. For if the eagerness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. For I do not mean that there should be relief for others and hardship for you, but it is a question of equality between your present abundance and their need, so that their abundance may also supply your need, in order that there may be equality. As it is written, the one who had much did not have too much, and the one who had little did not have too little. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Okay, so start off with like a really... Okay, I'm not even going to start off with that question. So you know, as pastors sometimes ask dumb questions. Well, this one was really dumb. So I decided not to ask it. But we'll talk about it. I was going to ask you if you knew what a commercial was. Everyone knows what a commercial is. Now, we don't see commercials quite so often anymore if you stream your stuff. But commercials, back in the day when the children were the remote control, you know that? You know, my dad would always say, Justin, can you change the channel? You know that. So back in that day, commercials was a nice time to go to the bathroom, stretch your legs, go get something to eat. And you always had someone in the living room still to be the call-out guy. Hey, the commercials are over. So that everyone knew to come back and watch a show, whatever that show was. I'm thinking like TGIF, you know, was it ABC, I think, or CBS, their Friday night lineup? We had the commercial people to watch when it was over. But that's the thing about commercials. Commercials were all about ignoring. They were like, in some ways, they felt like a necessary evil. They felt like a distraction that we didn't like, but they had to have them because they had to pay for the... The place anyway, you know, they had to pay for jobs and all that stuff. But I tell you what, it's been really nice having streaming Netflix and that and not having these commercials. Unless, of course, you're an Amazon Prime person. Any Amazon Prime people? Have you noticed they added commercials now? What's that? Disney Plus did too? Shame. I know. What are we paying for? Yeah, so they got commercials. Now you're watching your movie. They got commercials in movies now. You're watching your movie and you got this little commercial. Now, thankfully, it does tell you how long the commercial break is going to be. like a minute and a half or 2 minutes or 45 seconds and how many commercials it is. So you still got the chance to go to the bathroom if you need to, but they're short, so you got to make it really, really quick. Or you could hit pause, but why do that? You know, the fun is trying to make it in time. The thing is, though, is that these commercials for us have been something to skip over. You just don't pay attention to them anymore. It's like, why are they there? There's only one time a year where people sit down and watch commercials. And that is Super Bowl. Everyone knows that. Although the quality in that has been, you know, up to debate. But anyway, commercials are just, they're there. Now, I'm going to take a hard left here, or right, whatever direction this is to you. And we're going to talk about annual conference. How many of you have been to annual conference? A few? A couple? If you have not had the chance to go to annual conference, go to annual conference. Like, I used to, in the beginning of my ministry, I used to badmouth it all the time. But annual conference is such a joy and a blessing because you got these worship services that you wouldn't experience anywhere else. You got get to see people that you've never met, and people just love Jesus, and they just want to be there to serve Jesus. And the worship services are great quality, and the singing's wonderful, and the band, which usually leads the singing, is absolutely astounding. The messages are always good. And to see God working in the business of it all is such a wonderful joy. It can be frustrating at times, there's no doubt. But you're always in a reminder that God is working. And it's so great. Now, if there's any criticism that I could have about annual conference, and believe me, I have plenty of criticism about annual conference at times, it's the commercials. They have all these commercials talking about what Cabinet's up to, what the youth is up to, what Olmsted's up to, what Jamonville's up to, what some missionaries over in Guatemala are up to, how the president, when we went to Grove City, the president of Grove City used to come up and speak. And a lot of people, including myself at times, would tune this stuff out. Because I was there for the worship, the theology, and the business. I was there for the Jesus stuff, not for these commercials. Even in our own worship service, we have commercials. I put them at the beginning. They're called announcements. The things that are going on during the week, the things you got to know. And then what happens after the announcements? We have a prelude. And during the prelude, we say this. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship. As if to say, the announcements aren't part of that. Now let's make another hard right and go to our scripture today. Did you know that our scripture today is a commercial? Did you know that? I never heard it as a commercial before, but it is indeed a commercial. It's not the theology that Paul's been teaching. It's not the lessons that he wants the church of Corinth to learn. What, you know, when he preaches to Corinth, he teaches about the teaches about false worship, true worship, false teaching, true teaching, what it means to serve Jesus Christ, what circumcision is all about, who we're supposed to follow. Talks about the love, and Corinthians chapter 13 talks about the body of Jesus Christ. And then this, for the longest time, I didn't know what this was. Now, as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, has anyone ever had someone call them up and ask to donate money? That's what this is. Listen to it. Now, as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in our love for you, so we want you to excel in this generous undertaking. Now, for a short time, for $5.99, you too can own a house in North Carolina. And of course, that's not what this is about. This is not about some shady deal of owning a home. I do not say it's a command, but I am mentioning the eagerness of others, testing the genuineness of your love, for you know the generous act, so on and so forth. What happened is there was a famine, a natural disaster in Jerusalem, and Paul went from church to church raising money for Jerusalem. This is part of that money-raising efforts for Jerusalem. It's commercial. Now, we need you to reach deep down into your pockets, and we need you to be able to find it in your hearts to donate money so that the churches in Jerusalem have food, water, whatever it is that they need. I never knew it was a commercial until I learned it was a commercial, because it read like, we should really pay attention to what's going on here. In the midst of this commercial and asking for money, what Paul is saying is that the generousness of our hearts is based upon the generousness of Jesus Christ. Paul's reminding them that I'm not asking you to give so much of yourself that you're poor yourself. But basically, is what he's quoting in a creative way is from the book of Genesis, the story of Abraham. He's reminding them that you have been blessed in your life in order to be a blessing to others. And out of those blessings, we can be generous to others. So that there is this sense of, see if I can find it here, this sense of verse 14, equality. We don't want you to lower yourself financially to the point where you are poor and they are rich, but we want you to be able to meet somewhere. So that Paul says, the one who had much didn't have too much, and the one who had little didn't have too little. A sense of taking care of one another that some people have so that they can help others have also. Sometimes it goes against what the United States and that kind of thing is focused on. But Paul is saying that if you have been shown generosity by Jesus Christ, why not show that generosity to others? There's a deep message in here, if you're willing to look. And so it challenged me a lot to stop looking at annual conference and ignoring those commercials. Because if I ignore the commercials, then I ignore what Jesus Christ is doing in those places. If I ignore those commercials about the cabinets and what the cabinet's doing and what Olmsted's doing and what Jumonville's doing and what the president says and all that kinds of stuff, I miss where Jesus Christ is working. Because we've said it here, I've said it here a lot of times, is that there is no such thing as a God-forsaken place or a God-forsaken person. Sometimes it's so easy to get wrapped up in the things that we like, that where our interests lie. But as soon as we allow ourselves to pay attention to those things that we don't think are about us, we start to learn that it's not all about us. It's about Jesus Christ and what Christ is doing. Those commercials that we have at the beginning, it's not right to leave them apart from worship. Being a part of Bible study, being a part of the women's group, buying flowers in honor of someone, it's all part of the ministry. It's all part of what Jesus Christ is doing in our lives. I pray that when we are tempted to not pay attention to certain areas because that's of no concern of me, that we are able to ask the Lord to open up our eyes so that we may see Christ at work. We might not be a part of that work, but we can also call attention to Jesus Christ, who is a part of that work. I thank God for Paul encouraging others to give of themselves so that we may see that God is at work in many different places. Hear now this closing prayer. Dear Jesus, please show me how to spend this day sharing your love in every way. Help me to be kind to everyone, to play and laugh and have lots of fun, shining your light and giving your grace, sharing your joy with a smile on my face. Amen and amen. Go in peace.